baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I gotta kill a cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum. I'm here with Parker Thune, Spencer Forsythe on the board. Lots to talk about. Got some recruiting, spring football right around the corner. We're going to talk about some position battles, some talk, all that type of stuff. Softball, baseball, basketball with a big win over the weekend. Obviously, the women's team completely laying waste to everybody lately. So there, you have that as well. Just a lot to talk about in Sooner Nation, and we're here to talk to you all about all that and answer your questions in the super chat. So as always, if you guys want to super chat questions for us, you put it in there, it pops up to the top. We answer it as quickly as possible. Before we get into all that though, we want to thank our sponsors and give them notice. So Parker, take it away.
Yes, indeed, Brandon. This show, of course, is brought to you by the great folks at Riverwind Casino. And Sooner fans, you deserve the ultimate gaming experience. Well, that's Riverwind Casino for you. Over 2,800 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options. It's no surprise that Riverwind is the place to be. Always a good time, and still the one in the OKC Metro. So, for a good time, get out to Riverwind Casino and win. Now, do we have any other? I guess I'm not...
Well, I mean, if, you know, you only have, I don't think we really have another one this week, but
we don't have any more bills to pay. I think you might be right.
Well, I mean, we got our guy, our people over, we can do that later. We'll do it in the middle of the podcast. How about that?
Okay, great.
Do that? Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, all things Oklahoma football. How about that? Recruiting. I think the interesting part about this whole deal, I think we should probably start at the quarterback position. I think the 2026 class, as a matter of fact, nope, let's do 27 first. Parker, you were out checking out Peyton Houston.
I was
this past weekend. I was in obviously Springfield. There's a big 7-on-7 event there. There was a lot of targets there as well. But we're going to talk about Peyton Houston first. How was that event in Shreveport?
Yeah, well, it was very, very clear being out there. First off, tremendous tournament in the state of Louisiana, which is a really talent-dense area. It's a pretty small state, but obviously, historically speaking, LSU has recruited very heavily within their own state. Texas A&M has pulled a decent amount of talent out of Louisiana. Alabama has gone back there on several occasions to pull some of the best talent out of the boot. But it's very, very clear that Peyton Houston is just different. That's a guy that is going to be a five-star in the 2027 class, and it is well-deserved. Brandon, I'm hard-pressed to believe that I'm ever going to watch a high school quarterback that I am as impressed with, given the overall skill set and just natural ability at that age as I was with Caleb Williams. But yeah. Peyton Houston to me is right there in a drag race with Dylan Raiola for number two behind Caleb. I mean, he is so developed. He is so comfortable, so clean with everything he does as a sophomore in high school. And he's a legit sophomore. He's 16 years old. It's not as if he was held back at any point. But this is the guy for Oklahoma in the 2027 class. I mean, the only other offer that Oklahoma has made to a 2027 signal caller is Trey Taylor. And Trey Taylor recently released a top five. OU was not in that top five. So for all intents and purposes, Peyton Houston's the only guy on the board for Oklahoma right now at the quarterback position in the 27 cycle. They're in good standing. They're going to have to continue to battle Texas and Texas A&M and LSU. And I don't think that battle is ending anytime soon, but they're going to get up back on campus on March 8th. That'll be a good chance for him to start developing that relationship on a little bit deeper of a level with Ben Arbuckle. And we'll see where things go. But every time I watch Peyton Houston, man, just more and more convinced that not only is he going to be a five-star prospect in the 27 class, but he's going to be a superstar at the next level. If I had to bank on any member of the 2027 class winning the Heisman Trophy one day right now, I would bet on Peyton Houston. That's where my money would be.
That's interesting. That's a high statement that you just said. I will say I thought he was one of the, like you said, one of the more refined quarterbacks. When we witnessed him last year at the Rivals camp, I think that was probably, I thought that was one of his better performances I've ever seen. And then
you remember when we watched him in eighth grade at the Rivals camp in 23?
I do. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
That was kind of the hello moment that you and I both kind of looked at each other and were like, okay, we're going to be, we just kind of took a note, like, note to self, this dude can ball. So like, and then obviously, he came back last year and showed out again. And then I have to say, at the Under Armour this a few weeks ago, I just remember there were people, like, I'd walk by like the group of people standing in those bay doors that were freezing their butts off, mind you, watching their kids. And I'd get like a tap on the shoulder every few times I walk by, like, hey, who is that kid right there with the bleach hair, the mixed kid with the bleach hair? Who is that? Who is that throwing the ball? And I was like, that's Peyton Houston. And then Brian Odom even asked me, he goes, bro, who is that? And obviously he was there watching his kid. And I said, well, that's Peyton Houston. And he goes, that tracks. That tracks. Because, you know, everybody's heard about him. I mean, it's not a secret why he's one of the better targets. And why it's interesting for Oklahoma and Peyton Houston, Parker, there's a lot there.
There obviously is. And I want to be very proactive in answering the obvious question, because Christy floated it in the chat. It's a question that I've had to answer a zillion times on the message board at OUinsider.com. Well, why would you assume that Peyton Houston is going to leave the state of Louisiana? After all, don't the best in the boot stay in the boot? Well, okay. Yeah. Here's what you have to understand about the 2027 class in the state of Louisiana. There are three quarterbacks in the state in the 2027 cycle that are all going to be five stars or very close to it. Mm-hmm. Elijah Haven at the Dunham School in Baton Rouge. You got Malachi Ziegler. And then, of course, you got Peyton Houston up there in Shreveport at Evangel Christian Academy. By the way, Oklahoma has recruited Evangel before. Remember Brent Rawls?
Brent, fall Brent out of my Rawls. Truck backwards, Rawls.
Brent Rawls. Yep, he was an Evangel kid back in the day. But
they had another. They had a wide receiver that committed to Oklahoma. I went to Oklahoma. I can't remember his name either. I had Evangel Christian with Brent. Oh, and man. Then he left. He transferred. I cannot remember his name. Please say it in the chat. Help me out. You recruit Knicks from almost 20 years ago. Please, 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 please help me out. It was a big name, because he was a big name back in the day, too. It was a top.
Was it Tristan Ross?
It was Tristan Ross. Wow. Yeah. That's who it was. Wow, yeah.
Thought I remembered him being a Louisiana guy, and I thought, yeah, that was probably about the same
Parker
time.
At 4 years yep. old pulling out the Tristan Ross name.
Well, no, I mean, I just, maybe I remember those early sense. Rosters, man. I remember those early rosters, because that was the foundation of my OU football memories, were those teams in the latter half of 03, 04. 04 is the first year of OU football I can distinctly remember. And I'm fairly certain he was on that team. But yeah, Tristan Ross, there you go.
Number nine.
Going back to the three quarterbacks in the state of Louisiana in the class of 2027. LSU, it seems, has placed a greater emphasis on recruiting Elijah Haven. which at face value makes some sense because he's right there in Baton Rouge. He's bigger physically than Peyton Houston. Peyton's about 6 feet tall. Elijah Haven's 6'4", 6'5". Bigger guy. More prototypical if you consider what the age-old quarterback prospect, the ideal quarterback prospect, is supposed to look like. Elijah Haven certainly fits the mold. And there's definitely he's raw. There's something left to unlock in his game. And so I think if you're LSU, you figure, okay, we can bring him to campus. We don't necessarily have to throw him into the fire right away. We can let him take the Garrett Nussmeier route where he sits a year, maybe two, even three. And then when he's ready to roll, we can unleash him and wreak havoc on the SEC. And so I don't know for a fact that Elijah Haven is going to wind up at LSU because he's very highly coveted across the nation. And if he were to commit somewhere else, then obviously LSU's probably pivoting to either Peyton Houston or Malachi Ziegler. But it's no secret who Oklahoma wants.
Yep.
They want Peyton Houston. And as I mentioned, Texas is very much in the mix. They just got him on campus last month. Texas A&M, very much in the mix. It's not like, oh, well, if he doesn't go to LSU, he's automatically going to Oklahoma. No, Oklahoma's going to have to fight and win that battle against two other programs that have strong recruiting ties in the region. Texas has recruited Louisiana in the past, and they've got some relationships down there. But that's why it's not considered a guarantee or anything close to it, even a likelihood right now, that Peyton Houston winds up at LSU. I would be very surprised if he winds up at LSU, just because naturally, you know, when you're a legit five-star talent within state lines and the school that you've grown up watching would rather have somebody else than you, what does that leave you thinking? What does that leave you feeling? And Peyton Houston, obviously, I don't know that this is obvious. I don't know if this is something I've mentioned before, but one of the guys he grew up watching and idolizing was Kyler Murray. And you see a lot of Kyler Murray in his game. Now he's not Kyler fast and shifty because no one is, but outside of that, there's a lot of Kyler Murray in his game. And I think he is the most polished quarterback prospect in the 2027 class. I think he's overall the best. Now, whether he has the best college career, I don't know. I mean, there's so much that plays into that. The situation, the supporting cast. Do you run into the injury bug at any point? You got to battle through stuff physically. I don't know. But like I said, if I had to bet money on any member of that 2027 class being a Heisman Trophy winner one day, I'd lay money on Peyton Houston just because he is so, so polished. Everything he does at the quarterback position is so precise and looks so easy. So I'm very comfortable betting on that guy at the next level, as are the Oklahoma Sooners. And if indeed LSU just locks down Elijah Haven, or even if they don't, even if they just continue to really press for Elijah Haven throughout calendar year 2025, that certainly leaves the door wide open for Oklahoma and Texas and A&M and several other schools to really make that surge with Peyton Houston to the point where, hopefully, I think that's a guy you'd like to get committed by the summer. Kind of like the whole Jaden O'Neal phenomenon, right? He committed before the summer of his junior year of high school. If you can get Peyton Houston locked in by the summer, then that's a guy that can start recruiting everybody to come with him. And make no mistake, wherever Peyton Houston goes, he's bringing the cavalry with him. That's a kid that, like, he takes it very, very seriously, as he should, because he understands. And he has a respect for the amount of responsibility that he carries as a quarterback prospect and a highly regarded one. He understands guys are going to want to come play with him. And so whenever you see him out at these events, wherever they may be, not only is he competing, not only is he balling out, but every opportunity he gets, he's meeting somebody new. He's doing his best to sow those seeds, build those relationships, because wherever he winds up committing, he's going to try to bring a ton of blue chip talent from across the country with him.
Sounds very familiar.
It does, actually. Doesn't it?
There's a commit, actual quarterback commit for the University of Oklahoma that Seems to have that exact same, I don't know, what you say, I guess, personality about him. Very peer-to-peer recruiter. Talking about Jaden O'Neal. And I know everybody's seen stuff that Adam Gorney's been, and we've talked about it quite a bit on here, the Bo Bentley, Jaden O'Neal saga. And it's a saga. Like, it really is. You're not going to get both those guys in the same class. You just aren't. Like, I'm going to say it. Like, you're just not. I think at one point it might have been possible, but as time goes on, it's just, there's a reason why Bo Bentley has never committed to Oklahoma, number one. For somebody that is, that looked almost certain at one point to be a Sooner. You see all these offers that have, like, Ohio State and Oklahoma throughout, or maybe it was Oklahoma first that had the offer, then Ohio State came after him, I believe. OU offers, and then, like, the floodgates opened up, right? Like, it just, the floodgates opened up. Now he's got OV set to what? Ohio State, Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma, and who was the fifth? Who was it? Was it USC? No.
Well, did you say Florida State already?
Florida State was the fifth. Florida State. Yeah. Florida State was the fifth. Those are the five. And so it looked like almost a foregone conclusion for a bit that Bo Bentley was going to be added to that 26 class. Well, I think both of them kind of, even though they played on the same 7-on-7 team, I think both of them saw sense in it. And I'm not saying that it's the wrong thing to do. I just think in today's college football, you're not going to get two guys. And I think Jaden O'Neal's better, so I'm going to first say that first and foremost. But even people around Jaden O'Neal will admit that Bo Bentley can ball. And, like, yeah, there's no denying that. They aren't going to deny it. And they're like, look, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense for both of them to be in the same class. Now, granted, if Ben Arbuckle can pull that off, good for him. I just don't know that it's going to be possible. And the people I talk to on both sides, I just don't feel like it's going to be possible. I think it's one or the other. And right now, if you're strictly talking about players in Oklahoma's 26 class and or the guys they were recruiting, if you lose Jaden O'Neal, I'm not saying the wheels will fall off, but it's going to be a bear to keep them on. I'll tell you that.
The boat's taking on water at that point.
Yes. Mason James, really good friends with Jaden O'Neal. Caden Jones, really good friends with Jaden O'Neal. Deuce Gerolds, really good friends with Jaden O'Neal. Tank Carrington, really good friends with Jaden O'Neal. You want to know Tavion, who am I thinking of here? Tavion Branch, really good friends. Jaden O'Neal. Who else am I missing here that's really good friends with Jaden O'Neal? Taj Overton, really good friends. Jaden,
if you How go about current the, OU commit Daniel Odom?
Current, yeah, there you go. Daniel Odom grew up together, played Little League together, played 7-on-7 together. Committed to Oklahoma because of Jaden O'Neal. Jaden O'Neal is much like, and I know you guys hate to hear this, like, just because they transferred out, but as far as, like, class building, very much in the same vein as a Spencer Rattler, as a Caleb Williams, as a Jackson Arnold, where their personality just led people, gravitated towards them and helped build the roster up. And I know some people look at that and go, okay, well, none of those guys stuck. You know, well, two of those guys are in the NFL, so they were really good players. Had they stuck at Oklahoma, they were going to go to the NFL, right? They were going to be, they are who they are. And we don't know what's going to happen to Jackson Arnold. You talk to people at Auburn, he's a different player than he was at Oklahoma, which I don't think that shocks anybody because of what the roster looked like last year, the offensive line, the wide receivers. He had two hands tied behind his back the whole time he was playing last year. So did Michael Hawkins. So, like, it is what it is. But they just built, Parker, they just built great classes, right? Like, they built really good classes. And you don't want to lose that. Like, it'll, by the way, that Jaden O'Neal guy can play. He's a pretty good player, too.
You want to know what I think you do, Brandon, if you're Oklahoma? That, like, the more we talk about it, the more I realize, as good as Bo Bentley is, like, you'd love to have him, but if you're looking at the comprehensive picture, probably isn't the best move to bring him in, because then, of course, you run the risk of running off Jaden O'Neal, and you just, I mean, for the sake of relationships, if nothing else, I don't think you can do that. I mean, obviously, in addition to the fact that Jaden O'Neal's a really, really good player, but even if he wasn't, right? Like, even if he just wasn't a good quarterback, that's a guy that, because of his sway with his peers, you can't really afford to lose.
Right.
And so
there's also somebody's sway with, too, that you were just talking about. Like, they're very, very good
friends. Yeah, he's buddies with Peyton Houston, too.
So, super, like, super good buddies.
If you screw this up, it might be very, very hard to recover from. And for a staff that, let's call a spade here, they're coaching for their jobs this year. Like, is that a mistake you can afford to make? I think the answer is no. And if you're trying to take two quarterbacks, I'll say this. There is a kid up the road in the 918 at Sand Springs, Charles Page. Easton Webb is his name.
It's a good player.
He's committed to Oklahoma State for baseball right now. He is an exceptional quarterback. And as I continue to dig more and more into some of the under-the-radar guys in the 2026 class, I think this kid is the best quarterback in the state in the 26 cycle. And there are some other good ones. I think he's the best of the bunch. Tulsa right now has offered him. He's got a couple others. I know he's OVing to Tulsa in June, and they're going to try to sway him from his baseball commitment to Oklahoma State. But really good baseball player, excellent pitcher, one of the best within state lines in that regard. And so, like, why not go get that guy? You know, because he's going to add value on the diamond, could be a huge addition for Skip and his pitching staff. And also, he can be your Sam Bradford, right, where he comes in as the less highly regarded of the two quarterbacks. And if it works, it works.
Yeah.
If not, he's got baseball to fall back on, right? And maybe, just like Sam Bradford, maybe he turns out to be a guy that really, really outpaces expectations. And so if I am the Oklahoma staff, that is the kid that I'm going after in the 2026 class to tack on to Jaden O'Neal, because I just think the risks outweigh the rewards at this point with Bo Bentley. And it has nothing to do with him. He's a really freaking good football player.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Over 4,000 total yards and 60 total touchdowns and a state championship in 2024. I mean, he's undeniable. But again, the risks versus the rewards. If you're doing a cost-benefit analysis, I don't know that it's worth it.
I do want to add that none of this on either side, whether Bo Bentley or Jaden O'Neal's side, has anything to do with competitiveness. Like, they're all about the competition. They're all about, you know, all that. Like, that has nothing to do with it. It's just, in today's world, it just makes zero sense in how college football is set up today. Like, to have two top 100 kids at the same position being quarterback. Now, you can have two top 100 kids at the same position, the offensive line. You can have it on defensive line, your cornerback, wide receiver, running back, because you can afford to do it. There's only one person that's going to be playing quarterback. You're not going to swap. You're not rotating in and out and getting reps and getting balls thrown your way and targets and all that jazz, right? Like, it's quarterback. It's the hardest position in any sport. It's the most magnified position in any sport. Like, you just can't do it. And so I agree with you, Parker. I think you got to find somebody. And I've talked to people around the Bo Bentley area, like, just sources around. I haven't specifically asked him, but I've talked to people around that. And then I've obviously talked to people very close with Shaden O'Neal and said the same thing. Like, if you brought somebody in that was like a 3-star or whatever, like, I don't think anybody's fretting. And it's not because of the competition. It's because the optics. Like, you're also dealing in the world of money, and it's who's making more than who and all that. Like, you know you're the guy if you're the lone top 100 quarterback or 5-star quarterback in the class. You know you're that dude. Two, you're always looking over your shoulder. There's never any comfortability. It's who, what coach does a guy favor? You know, there's so many questions that go into it. Like, it's just a wild, wild, wild situation. And a tough situation, but I expect Bo Bentley to be back on campus. And I know I read in the chat that Jaden O'Neal moved across halfway across the country to Oklahoma. That has not happened. Hasn't happened yet. So, like, if it does happen, I promise you we'll let y'all know. But it hasn't happened yet. I don't know. Georgia's coming after Jaden O'Neal really hard, man. I mean,
what would it take in your mind? What would it take to change his mind?
Take a lot. It would take a lot. It would take Bo Bentley committing to Oklahoma and Oklahoma taking that commitment. And even then, I don't think it would be like something that happened right away, but I think it would be something that OU fans would have to look forward to down the road. There's just a there's a lot being juggled around there and like balanced to try to, in that situation, to try to make that part work. And maybe OU could salvage that. I don't know, but I know Brent Venables, I know Ben Arbuckle, I know Todd Bates. I know a lot of people have been putting in work with Jaden O'Neal as of late to really make him feel like he is that guy for Oklahoma. Like, they're doing a good job right now. I've talked to people just today about it and literally told, hey, so much better than it was. Like, when things first switched over, it was a roller coaster. But as of late, like, it's gotten better and better and better and better. And I know people hate on Brent Venables quite a bit. But during that transition for Ben Arbuckle, who you have to understand too, like, you're talking about a guy that just left a position, moved down, had to find a home, had to move into a home, had to get situated, had to do all the stuff you've got to do, you know, administratively with the NCAA and the clearinghouse and all that stuff to get cleared. And then you've got to, then they hit the road recruiting and going to that. Like, one of the first stops Ben Arbuckle ever made was Jaden O'Neal. But at the same time, like, I think there was some, and it depends on who you talk to, right? Like, lines of communication got crossed a little bit and here and that. And that happens. I can't, there hasn't been a coaching change where that hasn't ever happened. Just so everybody knows, like, these guys are human and they're being pulled in 90,000 different directions when they get a new job. So it becomes more and more difficult to just stay on top of everything that you need to stay on top of. But as of the last several weeks, like, things have just been moving in a very positive direction for OU and Jaden O'Neal. Now, we'll see if that stays. Again, I'm telling you all, Georgia is a team to watch. They have like 4 guys they're after. They've never seen Jaden O'Neal throw in person. So that's also an interesting part of this whole dynamic. So just file that away. That Georgia is pushing hard, and if something did go sideways, it would be Georgia, in my opinion, that's what happened. But right now, I've been told not to expect much of anything, and that, well, they are 100% with Oklahoma at this point.
Yeah, and we'll also see. as one of our listeners pointed out in the chat, Georgia is in the final two for Jared Curtis, who is
correct. But wasn't he committed to them
the
already?
He has been committed in the past. Yes.
There you go.
He was committed at one point. Now it's between
and
Georgia.
And what happened just recently with the other team that is in his top two?
They lost their quarterback to USC.
They did. Why did they lose a quarterback to USC?
Maybe because Well, one of two reasons.
There you go. You're following me here now.
Either they know they're getting Jared Curtis, or Jonas Williams got pissed off that they were still recruiting Jared Curtis. So who knows? Let's discuss this. Good question from Christopher Moon. How big of a deal is getting Felix Ojo for the Champion Barbecue? That's significant, Brandon, because
huge. We thought it was over. We're like Ohio State, Texas, done.
I look, credit to Bill Biedenboe, because he did more than I thought he was going to be able to pull off in that recruitment in getting Felix Ojo on campus for an official visit.
We didn't even interview him at Under Armour because we thought it was over. Like, yeah. This is not
and like
happening.
To be clear, I do not think he winds up in OU's class.
There you go.
He is going to get paid an insane amount of money. And for Oklahoma to be able to land him, they're going to have to do everything that they did with Michael Fasusi all over again successfully, which
they can
be
do.
Really
they can
difficult.
Do. They can
like
do.
They can do it. It's going to be difficult because, I mean, look, Fasusi went all the way up to signing day and he took those visits to Texas and Texas A&M in the end. And those two programs still had a puncher's chance all the way until the very end. And ultimately, I think it's pretty well known at this point. Fasusi took less money to come to Oklahoma. They were not the highest bidder for his services, but he took what amounts to a pay cut for the sake of development and for the sake of relationships. Is Felix Ojo going to be receptive to the same pitch? Because that's what it's going to be, man. It's going to be, hey, you know, at a certain point, how much money do you need right this second? Like, if we give you $1 million and they're offering $1.5 million, can't you just be okay with $1 million for now? I mean, you're a college kid. What realistically are you going to do with $1 million? How much of that are you going to spend? And if you come here, we will develop you. We will turn you into a first-round pick, as we have done in the past several times. And then you will make legitimately life-changing money. That first signing bonus for you as a draft pick is going to pay out plenty more money than you will ever make at the collegiate level. That's going to be the pitch with Felix Ojo. And they get the last shot at him. He's coming for the Champion Barbecue. That's worth something, right? It's worth something. I still don't know that they're going to be able to pull off with Ojo the exact same thing that they pull off with Fasusi, especially because it's not an apples-to-apples situation, not an apples-to-apples comparison. The reason for that is Fasusi's presence, right? If you're Felix Ojo, you're looking at that OU depth chart, you're thinking, okay, Michael Fasusi is their left tackle of the future. Either he's going to have to move or I'm going to have to move over to the other side. And Ryan Foje is going to have to kick inside. Can I count on all of this playing out the way that I want it to play out? It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a chore. Not one that's impossible, certainly one that's unlikely.
What? If you were going to give it odds, I mean, I'd probably 20%. Is that too much?
I think that's probably a little bit on the optimistic side, but
okay.
I will say this. Somebody in the chat said, wow, so we're the program that when we get a visit at this point, it's a big deal. I mean, again, I didn't think it was going to happen with Felix Ojo. That isn't indicative of a larger trend with Oklahoma. I mean, just look through the list of guys that we've already confirmed for official visits at OUinsider.com. Uncommitted guys, mind you. Taj Overton. Kamarian Johnson, Chancellor Barkley, Jake Krell, Caden Hall, Caden Jones, KJ Ford, Sincere Johnson, Tank Carrington. All of these guys are nationally coveted players.
I will also throw out there that I will bet a large sum of money that Deuce Gerald's is either on June 6th through the 8th or 20th through the 22nd as well. So, I mean, there's that. Like, there's a reason why it's good to get these guys on campus. Like, isn't Tavion Branch coming in June as well, right?
Yes, he is.
Yep. And then Jake Krill is most likely for the Champion Barbecue. He's also going to visit another date that I'm about to throw up that. And, like, and I can't really dive into it. And then on here, unfortunately, because we have the paying members, but we have that. And then I've got a part one and part two of team notes, Barker, that are just... Let's say part one was a bear to type today. I'll just say that. Like, it was a lot of information and a lot of stuff that's gone on since they started winter workouts. Like, I've done a lot of digging, talking to multiple people just to accumulate what I've got as far as team notes on who's standing out, who's struggling, who needs to step up, you know, what is the vibe inside. And there's good, there's bad. Like, this isn't just going to be a sunshine pumping batch of team notes. There's some stuff that he's got to work on. So, like, it's going to be pretty good list of team notes. So, I watched Caden Jones this weekend, man.
And?
The way he runs routes for a running back is just absurd. Like, he was a cheat code the whole... So they were down, like, the unit platinum was down, like, I think it was 18 to nothing. And in a matter of three possessions, he brought them back. And not just three possessions. Three offensive plays. They stopped Warren Academy. They get the ball. The very first play, he takes a little... And you can see it on my Twitter. He takes a little dig route and then houses it from about 50 yards out. They stop Warren Academy again. He catches a pass. Not just catches a pass. That pass was so far up in the air, out of his range. He's going towards the goalpost. The ball goes towards the corner on a frozen rope, and he stops, turns about 3 feet up in the air, contorts his whole body around, catches it, somehow lands. And by the time the defense converges, he's planted and taken off into the other direction for like another 15 yards to get in the end zone. And we're talking about playing against other P4 guys. Like, Warren Academy's loaded, Parker. You know that. And he gets it again, and he gets a frozen rope post that he takes to the house again. Three, one, two, three, and then they're up. Like, it was like they didn't throw to him the first two possessions. They decided, you know what, we're going to throw to our guy. And they kept calling Sooner, which is their play, the game, call the same play. And they just kept doing it over and over and over until somebody tried to stop him. And they couldn't stop him. They knew where the ball was going, and he couldn't be stopped. Like, he's just different. Like, if Oklahoma gets him, which we expect, is he not way bigger than he used to be? Like, he's huge now. Like, Matt, like,
his,
you know what he reminds
me of? His pass-catching prowess and Rylan Morris's pass-catching prowess. Like, imagine those two lining up together in a committee in Oklahoma's 2026 recruiting class. Ben Arbuckle will have a field day with those two.
Not only that, you know who he reminds me of?
Who's that?
Just physically. Just how big he is now. He's probably about 205 now, 208. He reminds me of Joe Mixon physically out of high school and plays a lot like him.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
You knew because you've thought it. Like,
no, I did. I did. I did. Like,
yeah, like that. And I'm not saying he's going to be that good. I'm just saying, like, his play style is very similar and his build is very similar to Joe Mixon. There's not very many Joe Mixons in this world.
No, there's not. And, but, you know, I don't necessarily want to place those expectations on Caden Jones.
Yeah,
yet, but
it's
you're
not,
right. Like, stylistically, there are similarities. There absolutely are.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was really, really cool. I don't know, man. Like, Samaj Stanford is just like, OU's got to go get him. Like, he is
very good.
He's so good. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the kid's name out of Broken Arrow. 2026 safety.
Broken Arrow safety.
Oh my gosh. He's built like a linebacker too. Like, OU's talked to him a few times as well. So has Missouri's been on him pretty hard.
Broken Arrow.
Yeah, I gotta go to the huddle now. He was really good, man. Like, They got some players now on that Sooner 7 squad, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I'm over here like trying to sift, like when I see it, I'm going to just have to slap myself for not remembering it. He's a safety slash wide receiver. Man, it's making me mad, Parker.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Tayshaun Wade.
Okay.
Tayshaun Wade. You should go watch him. And he's so good.
Does he so have good. Any offers?
Yeah, got a couple, I think. Okay. But I think it's one of those guys that's probably going to blow up over the summer, in the spring. Jalen Battle was there, the MVP of the Under Armour camp. Obviously, defensive tackle, playing tight end for Sooner 7. Playing tight end. Tight end. Like, that's how well he moves. He's visiting Oklahoma March 8th.
Do you think he's an offer guy?
Yeah, you and I talked about that earlier today. I just... I don't know yet. Like, I think so. Like, maybe... Like, who was it that you gave the analogy to? Like, Josh Asosa. Like,
Asosa, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think that's a good analogy. Like, a guy that just continually blows up. He's getting better and better and better. And as they, I think if Oklahoma goes to spring practice in May and they like what they see in person, that's when I think maybe an offer. And or maybe they have him come to camp, right? And maybe you get an offer in July or June, you know, like a June offer. Like, I think maybe that could happen because he's an Oklahoma guy, right? Like, you don't want to offer something that you can't accept because that's just a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I think he's growing into it. I'm just not sure. I'm kind of with Oklahoma here that I think they just need to see, right? And see where this thing goes. Because he's got all the, he's talented. Like, we watched it at the Under Armour camp. Like, he's super, there's a reason why he was the MVP. He could not be blocked. And he was going up against some really good offensive linemen. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what big time programs start offering him though, because I think that's about to start happening. Particularly if he visit, when he posts that he visited Oklahoma, I don't think Houston and a few other, you know, lower P4 offers are going to be the only ones that happen.
I think they're going to be bigger. Super chat from Tim Martin, who asks, what's both of your thoughts on the spring game or no spring game? How will it affect recruiting? Oklahoma is going to have a chance, I think, to really make an impression upon some kids they're going to show up for. And that spring game visit list is growing larger. We haven't officially put it out at OUinsider.com, mm-hmm. but I, for instance, was just talking earlier today with the parent of a nationally coveted blue chip recruit in the 2026 class who is going to be on campus for the spring game, posted that note at OUinsider.com. It's a big deal. And I think the reason it's becoming a bigger deal is because you see so many other schools backing out of their spring game plans and canceling them. And so for Oklahoma, one of the schools that's holding out, and you know, there's no plans as of right now to move away from the spring game. For kids that are looking to go somewhere the weekend of April 12th, you'd like to go somewhere where there's a game happening, some action mm-hmm. happening, right? You wouldn't necessarily like to just show up to a place and see the facilities and walk around campus if you can be somewhere where you can watch actual football.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think I'm for it just because I think it's great for the fans. And I think, but look, if Oklahoma ever decided to go away from it, I put it on OU Insider because they asked us, we had people talking about that and just, and it has everything to do with, you know, the updated playoffs. I think, was it 16 teams now, right? Is that what they're going to go for, right? Is 16 teams for the playoffs here pretty soon?
Allegedly.
Yeah. And so there's reasons why these programs are doing that. If they went to that model of, you know, spring practice is kind of like training camp, you know, for the NFL, But I think you would have to open practices up. And what they could do is they could charge for practice. They could do it in the stadium, and they could say, okay, these are the dates that we're going to open practice up, and we're going to have recruits come in on those weekends, right? And you could do that. And you would probably have 10, 15,000 people at every one of those practices, maybe more. And you could say, we're going to hold two scrimmages, one in the fall, one in the spring, that's open to the public. And actually, because isn't it weird how the NFL can have all these scrimmages and they can do all this national televised stuff and they can have all these cameras and everything in it, but like college acts like they're the freaking CIA and like it's confidential. You cannot see the plays and the defense. Bro, I can pull up the film and tell you exactly what you're going to do. Anybody that knows football can do that. Like, that's not a secret anymore. Your tendencies are your tendencies. They're the same thing they've been the past 3 or 4 years. It doesn't change. You want to know what changes? The Jimmys and the Joes. And guess what? Everybody knows who you have on your roster. So you're not hiding anything. That's the weird part about the college situation. It got really weird under Riley. It started under Bob Stoops, but it got super weird and super like paranoid under Riley. And BV's not as paranoid. He lets us go in and watch practice as media for hour 45, sometimes 2 hours. Like, and we love him for it during the spring. He'll let us go in there for 45 minutes during fall camp a few times, and we love him for it. But I think if you really want to tap into it, you could throw NIL stuff in there and do like a signing right afterwards with the players and like really build up the NIL stuff. Like, there's so much they're missing on this and just so much money they're just leaving out on the table because they're not thinking like a broad spectrum, like just thinking outside the box. Like, if you want to do the NFL thing the way Texas is doing and all these other programs, cool. Open up like seven practices for the half your practices are open up for the fans and the media, right? Cool. One scrimmage for the fans and the media. Cool. During the spring, same thing. The first 2 weeks of practice for fall camp, open it up to the fans and the media. Have one of those scrimmages on the weekend where you can bring in the recruits, you can bring in the fans, open it up to whatever, and do it that way. Have a signing session afterwards. Like, I'm not against it, but at the same time, I do like the spring game. I like the tradition of it.
I do too.
The way they score, they need to fix, though.
Yeah, well, and I think the spring game needs to be preserved at all costs. And what I've floated for weeks now is the concept of not televising your spring game and using ticket sales towards NIL. So basically, yep, it's communicated to the fans that, hey, you buy a ticket, the price you pay goes directly into the NIL fund.
Bang.
So yep, if you have 50,000 fans, you have a modest, by Oklahoma standards, a modest spring game attendance of 50,000 fans that all pay $20 a pop for a ticket, mm-hmm, that's $1 million into the NIL budget right there. And so, but I think you make it clear to those folks that this is the only way you can have access to the spring game. It's not going to be televised anywhere. If you want to watch the spring game at the University of Oklahoma, you're going to have to buy a ticket. But when you do buy a ticket, it helps our bottom line, helps the football program's bottom line, because every ticket you buy is $20, for example, into the NIL piggy bank. And I think that's a really, really easy way to activate fan support to the nth degree for the spring game, get people excited about it, pack the house. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question. Like, if people know, A, that my contribution, my ticket, the price of my ticket is going directly to Oklahoma's NIL fund for the football roster, and it's the only way I can see the game, then I think you could sell the spring game out, Brandon. I really do. As long as the ticket prices are modest, and as long as you're very clear and very compelling in your messaging to the fan base.
So let's say like you sold that out, right? $20 a pop. That's 20 times 86,000. That's $1.7 million. Let's say this. I think the other thing you could do just like I was talking about, you say, okay, cool. Like, you sell it out. 5,000, we have 5,000 tickets for Meet the Sooners. Not only do you get in the game, you get one free drink, one free meal per ticket, plus you get to go online and take photos with the players and sign. They'll sign autographs of whatever memorabilia you want to sign before the game. You got to be there at a certain time, obviously, all that jazz. That's another $1 million that you just added to the pot at 500. Like, you say $200 a piece, 5,000 people can get into that, right? Like, that's another $1 million. You just made $2.7 million for NIL. That's two really, really good offensive tackles and two really, really good defensive tackles, or one badass transfer quarterback. Pick a poison. So, I mean, like, there's so many, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, and then you could do silent auction stuff for the rest of the crowd, right? And raise more money. Like, they are missing the boat. I do really like what One Oklahoma is doing right now with the skeet or disc shooting or whatever they're doing. That's a cool idea. And apparently it's really, like, taken off with the fans. Shocker. Oklahoma's and guns, right? And OU football. Can't beat that. But those are the things that they've been lacking, right? Like, the dinners, like, that all, like, USC's been doing, and Georgia and Texas, they've been doing, where you get to go have dinner with the players and, like, meet and greet for, like, 3 hours. And depending on your VIP status and how much you pay to get into that thing, you get, you know, a certain level of access, right? Like, why hasn't Oklahoma been doing those things?
I couldn't tell you, Brandon.
Isn't that crazy? Like, you want to know how you get really good players? Yeah, open it up to the fans and allow them to feel like they're getting access that they can't get anywhere else for their buck.
Yeah. Well, and there are people in the chat saying, well, I live so-and-so however many hours far away from Norman. You got to televise the spring game. Well, I mean, the alternative that we're discussing here is not having a spring game. So what would you rather have? A spring game that you can watch in person and that the reporters can report on and provide accounts of? Or would you rather have no spring game at all? I think the choice is pretty clear, right?
Right.
You preserve the spring game if you can preserve it. Yeah. I think there's a way to do that.
Yeah. Totally agree. Look, we're kind of digressing here a little bit. Hey,
okay, let's pay off our tees here. Which Oklahoma
before we do that, let me do this real quick. I want to thank Mitch Matthews, obviously, and Refine You Med Spa of Oklahoma City. You thank them for sponsoring us. Obviously, everybody wants to achieve a weight. Achieving a weight can be challenging to do on your own, but you are not alone. The skilled team at Refine You Med Spa offers treatments that complement weight loss goals and long-term weight loss support, so you achieve a weight that supports good health and self-esteem. You can achieve your ideal look and feel with Refine You state-of-the-art practices that offer a diverse selection of aesthetic treatments, providing services that benefit every body shape and skin type. You're talking, you've got a mark or skin tags or whatever that you want to remove, they do that for you. You want to lose weight? They have so many different options. You want to lose the cellulite around your waist? They have so many different options. They have removal. They have the shots. They have all sorts of stuff that can really help you achieve that weight, achieve the look that you're looking for. Plus, the women, wives, your girlfriend, they love the Botox. They like the lip filler stuff. They do all that for you at Refine You Med Spa. You can get the gift card. You can set them up an appointment. They have medical staff on hand. There's a reason why they've been named the number one med spa in Oklahoma City for the past 5 years by 405 Magazine. You can reach out to Refine You Med Spa Oklahoma City for a free consult. at 405-849-5391, or you can go to refinuokc.com and they will hook you up. I promise you. Tell them OU Insider sent you. All right. What's your question?
Which OU assistant has the best recruiting class when all is said and done in the 2026 cycle? If you had to place your bet right now, which OU assistant at the end of the recruiting cycle were you saying, yep, they did the best job accruing talent?
Okay, repeat that question again. Which of the players what?
Which of the assistants, which of the staffers has the best class at their respective position group?
By the end of the cycle?
Yeah.
Todd Bates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly a candidate with what he's got on the board there between guys like Tank Carrington and Deuce Geralds and Taj Overton, Tavian Branch.
Yeah.
Emmett Jones, obviously, always
Be in the
mix.
Why did you hear
the always going to be in the mix. And he's got he's got plenty of high caliber options. It's going to be tough for Bill Beedenbaugh, I think. Not impossible because of how many solid interior prospects he has, but I think it would really take a Felix Ojo, for instance, to put him in that conversation as the assistant that did the best job recruiting their respective position. I think he had that locked down in the 2025 cycle, though. I think he took that one home. But, no, I agree. I think on the defensive side of the ball, specifically, you're looking at Todd Bates and Miguel Chavis as the two most likely to clear the rest with their groups and their
I think Jake Krell ends up being a center at this point. Yeah. So
yeah, well, not only and you know, Jake Krell, that great. If they can land him, great. But KJ Ford, right? OU lean right now. Kamarian Johnson, they got a heck of a shot with him.
Yeah, I might actually have to switch. I might go Chavis actually, because those three guys could end up being like, yeah, Todd Bates is gonna have man, I mean, if he lands just two of those guys that we just named, that's just an insane class. But if Chavis does what we think he can do, and like I think they lead for all three of those guys, that's the weird part about all that. Like, he is doing a phenomenal job in 2026. And I think he found the three guys that he meshed with the best, and he just went all in. He just puts his chips all in and said, I'm doing this. And it's worked. Like, it's working, I guess, would be the best, but it hasn't worked quite yet until they sign or commit. But yeah, it's working. Chavis might actually be it, because, I mean, Krell and KJ Ford are just stupid talents. So good. I don't know. Who's your pick?
Right now?
Yep.
EJ or Chavis? I think it's between those two for me. Certainly makes things difficult, you know, when you're looking at secondary right now and the linebackers group, to consider how many different hands are in the pie, right? Between Wes Goodwin and Nate Dreiling and James Skalski and obviously Brandon Hall and Jay Valai. So if it's going to be defensive side of the ball, I think it's Chavis or Bates. And I give the slight edge to Chavis right now. Offensively, another guy that could be a sleeper candidate, just depending on how things shake out, would be DeMarco Murray. Like if he lands Rylan Morris and Caden Jones.
Yeah.
Those to me are two top 250 guys by the end of the cycle, if not sooner. By most standards, that's a pretty good running back class.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, Rylan Morris, Caden Jones would be, yeah, absurd. And ironically, like, as much as they're alike, they're still very different too, because their body frames are just way different. Like, Caden Jones is also, he can also be just a thumper if he wants to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a great question. But we're going to have a lot to talk about here over the next few weeks. Spring football's kicking off, what, in 2 weeks now? Is it 2 weeks away? Or no, it's not even that. It's next week, right? March 3rd?
March 6th.
It's a week away, basically. Maybe 10 days away. Like, I think that's something that should excite Oklahoma fans very, very, very much as the University of Oklahoma kicks off their spring game. We're going to have that fully covered for you guys at OU Insider. We want to thank you guys for being here on this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor. Sooners YouTube Live, powered by Riverwind Casino. Thank you to our sponsors, Riverwind Casino. Thank you to OKC Med Spa. Guys, if you're not subscribed to this YouTube, if you're not subscribed to whatever podcasting platform, subscribe, please. Like, it's free. It's free. You get to have all the information. Every podcast, every video that we drop is going to be right there on that YouTube. And there's lots of information videos, position breakdowns. Brian Clinton did a great thing, great breakdown on Jaden O'Neal here recently. There's just so much you can access on our YouTube if you want to. Also, if you're a college student, you have a .edu, hit us up on OUinsider@rivals.com. We'll send you a promo code for $11.95 to get OU Insider for a whole year. Same with active duty military. You have an active duty email, emails from that account, please. OUinsider@rivals.com. We'll send you a promo code. You can get OU Insider for a whole year, $11.95. Again, .edu, college student, doesn't matter. Timbuktu University, doesn't matter where you go to school. You have a .edu. You want OU Insider access. You love OU football. You love OU sports. OUinsider@rivals.com. Email us from that .edu. And we will help you guys out. Also, one last thing, $9.95 a month, $99.95 for the whole year. Bunch of team notes about to drop. Got notes coming up on recruiting as well. Parker has his notes coming up on recruiting. I've got part one, part two team notes, like VIP team notes, like exclusive sources, people have been around the program all winter. Who's standing out? Who's still coming back from injury? Who's dinged up right now, maybe from workouts? Who needs to step up? What is the biggest issues that Oklahoma has moving forward? I'm going to have all of that: wide receiver, offensive line, quarterback room, defensive back, DN, D tackle, like everything, running back. We're covering every position. I've got exclusive breakdowns on all that in part one and part two. Part one dropping later on tonight on OU Insider VIP. All right, for Parker Thune, for Spencer Forsythe on the board, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.